Norris and Davis in the morning. There is no plan B. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, let's bring in one of our favorite guys. Longtime Oriole, member of the Orioles Hall of Fame and a World Series winner, Ken Singleton, joining us here on Norris and Davis. Good morning, Kenny. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good, Ken.
We are great. And I know you're I know you're catching some of this Raven spirit, huh?
Oh, most definitely. This is unbelievable. I think it's the Ravens got hot at the right time. This reminds me of what the Giants did last year, where the Giants were cold. Everybody thought they were out of it. They weren't going to make the playoffs. And not that everybody thought that the Ravens weren't going to make the playoffs, but the Giants could have the right time and march right on through.
Hey, what's it like to win a championship very late in your career when you're kind of getting towards the end and you just don't know? Because for you, you know, you broke into the majors in the early 70s, but it was your second to last year as a Major League Baseball player with the Orioles in 83 that you won your first championship, right?
That is absolutely right. We had the chance in 1979. We lost the World Series to Pittsburgh. And fortunately, we got another chance a few years later in 83. And one thing about that team in 83, we had 15 of the same players that we had in 79 on the team. In this day and age, or even back then, that was quite unusual. We kept knocking on the door all those years in between, and we finally got it done in 83. And as you said, I think we realized in that 83 World Series we were getting older as a team and some of us weren't going to be around much longer. In fact, for me and Jim Palmer and Al Bumby, it was only one more year with the Orioles, and then that was going to be it. So I was very fortunate to get a World Series ring, not only with some great players, but some great people that were on those teams. And I really appreciate all of those guys. I love them all.
Ken Singleton, our guest this morning. Obviously, the big news this week, as far as the Orioles go, is the passing of Earl. Just give us your thoughts on him, what made him such a great manager. We all, you know, we've seen all the YouTube videos, but for people that didn't see him manage, younger listeners, what was he like?
He was demanding, to say the least. Mm-hmm. But one thing I will say, Ed, is that he kept you focused on a daily basis. He wasn't really concerned with what happened the day before or what. You know, everybody's talking about going on a five-game winning streak. Like, we'll get us going again. Well, Earl said five-game winning streaks were comprised of 5 one-game winning streaks. So that's the way it was done. You played well that day. If you didn't, he wasn't happy. If you made mistakes on the field, he would wait for you at the top step of the dugout and let you know about it when you came in. And it was just one of those things you were expected to play your best at all times. There were no such things as mental mistakes. He could take some physical mistakes. He knew that was going to happen, that you're going to mess up every once in a while defensively. But mental mistakes, he just couldn't deal with those.
You came over from, you cracked in with the Mets, right? And then the Expos?
Yeah.
And then you came here. So was it an eye-opener when you had to play for Earl?
Well, the first thing, when I got to spring training, my first day of spring training in 1975 with the Orioles, the first person I saw as I walked in the clubhouse was Brooks Robinson. And Brooks put his arm around me, welcomed me to the team, and he said, you don't have to do it all by yourself here. We've got some good players. Now, I looked around the clubhouse, and you know, there's Mark Belanger and Bobby Critch and Lee May, Jim Palmer, Mike Cuellar, Grant Jackson, Elrod Hendricks. He was right. There was Don Baylor, Paul Blair, and I'm thinking, this is a place you'd like to stay. And then there was Earl. And they were telling me, oh, he'll be all right in spring training because the games don't mean anything. But once the season starts, he really gets going. He gets tough. And I could see that he had a passion, even during spring training games, that he wanted things done correctly. If you were going through the drills in spring training and they weren't quite going the way Earl wanted them to, he'd be screaming at the top of his lungs, we'll be out here all day in this heat till we get it right. And, you know, relay plays and stuff like rundown plays and all that sort of thing. And he was a stickler on doing things correctly, particularly on defense.
Hey, Ken, what about, you mentioned all of the members of that team, the some roster. Mm-hmm. How did he deal with the, you know, like the real superstars, like, treat him any differently than everybody else?
Oh, no, not really. No. he was not there to be anybody's friend.
Yeah.
That was not. He was there. He knew what he was getting paid for. He was getting paid to win baseball games. And if he felt that you weren't able to do it, get somebody else. It's as simple as that. I can recall that he had a meeting. We were struggling at one time during the course of one season. I don't even remember which year it was. But he said something very funny, and he didn't mean to be funny. He said that during the meeting, he said, "Oh, this is all my fault. I can't believe we can't win." He said, "You know, I picked you guys. I thought you could win." and I didn't want to laugh, you know, and I didn't. But, you know, Mike Flanagan, if I looked at Flanagan, I would have started laughing, because Flanagan was the type of guy that he would give you this quizzical look on his face and just make you. So I looked away from him so I wouldn't crack up after. I don't even think Earl meant to be funny. It's just the way he said it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of my favorite all-time Earl stories has to do with Flanny, and it has to do that story on the plane where the year after Earl retired, so I guess it was the year you guys won the World Series, and you guys are on the team plane, and somebody was upset about the food and said, "Hey, where's the shrimp?" And Flanny said, "He's golfing in Florida."
Yeah, and you know, one thing Earl would, he didn't mind us yelling at him. We could yell back at him, too. He said, "This is America. You can say what you want, but you got to be able to back it up." And that's why we were free thinkers. We had a lot of guys in that team who said exactly what they wanted to say. And Earl didn't mind it at all. Just had to go out there and win games.
So let me play something for you. Ed made this, alluded to this. So let me play a little bit of the famous Bell Haller. A lot of people have heard, a lot of people have not. He was mic'd up in 1980, and unfortunately he was mic'd up for the Orioles game, and Earl came out and gave it to him.
I did not. Now you're lying.
Damn, you're lying.
No, you are.
You are lying.
Big liar.
You are a liar, Earl.
You are
a liar.
You are.
It was unbelievable. So it's in September of 1980. I'm going to assume, based on how much you played right field, do you remember the incident? Were you in right field for that?
Yeah. You know what? I was standing out there, and I had my arms folded. And, you know, I wasn't really near where I could hear that, but I just knew it was going to be a while. In this day and age, umpires will not allow you to stand out there. They will throw you out right away. They want to keep the game moving. But Earl, managers like Earl and Billy Martin were entertainers, too. They'd get out there. And I remember one time Earl had this argument with one of the umpires hated him. But anyway, he comes back in the dugout, he's all out of breath, and he says, "I can't stay out there as long as I used to." And I just thought it was hilarious. And he'd already been out there 5-10 minutes. And he'd argue. He'd be thrown out of the game. He'd start walking on the field, then he'd go back for more. You know, and he was, 97 times, 94 times he got thrown out of games of American League record. You know, the umpires absolutely could not stand him, and he could not stand them either. He just thought they were out there for one reason. That's the Scooty Orioles.
What he said.
Yeah. And he was just used a nice word.
Yeah, he was thrown out early in that argument. He was ejected way early and just kept coming back.
You know what, Ed? He would say to us, he'd have the same speech in every spring training. I played for Earl for 8 years, and by the end of those 8 years, when he made his speech in spring training, like the first day we got there, I could mouth every word. And one of the things he would say is, "Don't you guys get thrown out of games. You know, let me get thrown out of games. I'm the one, that's my job." He says, "You guys, I'm not the one who's going to hit the three-run homer. I'm not the one who's going to pitch the shutout.
Yeah.
Let you guys stay in the game. Don't get thrown out. I'll have your back. I'll be out there." And he did. He was out there. He started yelling from the first pitch of the game sometimes at the umpires. One of our pitchers at home would throw a pitch he thought was a strike, was called the ball. He started yelling at the umpire, "Is that the way it's going to be all day?" You know, and right away he was on our side.
Ken, moving on to this year, are you a little surprised that they didn't make any big move or any moves really in the offseason?
Well, I think the Orioles, I don't know what everybody's looking for them to do. I think that they're looking for them to get another hitter, maybe another pitcher. But I think they have, in numbers at least, they have the pitchers. Some of these guys improve and move up a notch or two. I think they'll be fine. I think they already have the confidence that they can get to the playoffs again. Last year was a building block. They got to the playoffs. I don't think they got knocked out the first round, but it was a tough series against the Yankees. They've got to have confidence coming into this year. it'll be interesting to see what those are during the course of spring training. There's going to be a lot of competition for those five spots in the rotation. I think some guys are pretty solid. They got Wada coming this year. He should be back from Tommy John surgery. And if he's anything like Chen was, I mean, they'll have themselves another pretty good pitcher. So this is going to be an interesting year. The team that's made the most noise in the division has been Toronto.
Yeah, for sure.
They should be an interesting team this year, too. But, nobody wins anything in January and February. We'll see what happens from the start of spring training on.
All right.
Kenny, great to catch up with you. I'm certain we'll talk a lot more. We got to ask you about the Yankees. We'll do that the next time we have you on the show. But thanks for joining us and telling us about Earl.
I really appreciate what Earl was able to do for my career. I had a chance to talk to him at Eddie Murray's statue unveiling, and he said he appreciated how hard I played for him. But it was Earl who brought the best out in all of us, believe me. And made it. We used to say it's great to be young in an Oriole. One of the reasons was because we're a manager.
All right. Well, thank you, Kenny. Appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Take care.